Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Good morning, everybody.
Now this is my speed, Joe Callie. Keep that one going right now.
Just keep that going the entire time.
Nothing wrong with a little Blink 182 in your life at 10 in the morning.
It's good. Especially when you have two NFL games last night and neither of them were good.
Also, it's good to have Blink 182 in your life at any time of the day.
Right. That's probably fair. That's right. Good car ride music.
Great car ride music.
That's right. Yeah, we had two NFL games last night. Neither of them were any good. We'll get to that here. We'll also talk, of course, the start of Week 5, Bills and Patriots Sunday Night Football. We'll go through Saints and how bad the defense still looks and all of that. Should be a fun week with the Bills being one of just two teams at 4-0. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Do want to start with last night's games. I feel like I'm a old guy yelling to get off my lawn with everything going on in the NFL. I don't like the international window. I often find them to be bad games.
Oh, so you've got terrible news for what Roger Goodell said then.
Right. No, I know. And then Thursday night, I don't like. And even these Monday night doubleheaders, I'm kind of sitting here going, okay, one of these games on paper was good. Quarterback injury, you kind of can't predict for it. It is what it is.
Right.
But I'm sitting there watching Dolphins-Jets, and I'm just like, this game's terrible. It's not really worth watching. And then once Burrow's out and it's Jake Browning out there, no disrespect to him, we've seen what backup quarterbacks look in the league. It becomes nearly unwatchable with some of these teams.
Hang on. Considering what he did a couple of years ago, I should say – there should be some disrespect, I guess.
Well, no, I mean,
because he kind of set up for.
He did, but he's also still a backup quarterback, I think, for a reason.
But Browning had a great run a couple of years ago to keep Cincinnati in the playoff race up until week 18. And so you set yourself up for kind of a little bit of a slanted criticism toward a backup quarterback because he showed you he could do it. And through 2.5 games here, it's not that he's been bad, he's been unusable.
Yeah, and I mean, their offensive line looks horrendous. Surprise, surprise.
What a surprise.
Their defense, even with Trey Hendrickson, is still bad.
What a surprise.
Like it was last year. So, there was nothing really good there. But Bo Nix had a great game. I think 4 total touchdowns, over 300 yards.
He also threw a ghastly interception.
Yeah, it was 4th down in the end zone?
Yep.
That one was rough.
I mean, hey, he didn't arm punt it out of bounds like Russell Wilson did, so I guess there are fates worse than that, but...
The best.
It wasn't a good throw, though.
But I guess the best storyline from last night was Darren Waller off his rap career had 2 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Off his rap career.
I'm watching these, and I'm just like, there's no need for this. There's no need to have 2 Monday night games. We're about to deal with that in a few weeks for the Bills. I will say, though, positive news for everyone that works the next day on Tuesday. Bills are at 7:15.
Yes.
So they're the early game. That's at least exciting. But I'm watching these, and I don't want to sound like too much of a curmudgeon right off the rip, because I'm excited. Baseball playoffs start today and the whole thing. That should be fun. But I don't find the appeal to this. The European games, again, often a terrible game, and it was on Sunday morning with the Vikings and the Steelers. That was more – I saw Mike Shope tweet it, and I couldn't have agreed more. The NFL's begging for this game to be done by one. Just get it over with. Get it over with.
Yeah, that one's tough. I like the idea of the double Monday nighter, though, more than Thursday night football. Because at least you get the full week of preparation, everything like that. The idea is, I think, better in that sense. player safety, everything that I can go on about with that. I would prefer double Monday nighter versus any Thursday nighter in terms of quality of game. Their biggest screw-up was that Jets and Dolphins was a Monday nighter and not a Thursday nighter. That is a game that you bury into week four of Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, and you hope just it doesn't kill you too much in terms of how bad it was.
Hey, Dolphins, Jets, we gave you a primetime game. It's Thursday night. Because that is currently what you deserve.
And we'll get to the Patriots because, I mean, they actually haven't been terrible, to be perfectly honest, to start the year. They've looked pretty darn good. Drake May, I think, definitely has taken another step forward in his second year. We'll get to them, though, in a little bit. But for the AFC East, the other two teams, Jets, I liked the Aaron Glenn hire initially. I still kind of do. But they're in a really bad spot. Talent-wise, they are not good. Giving Sauce Gardner over $100 million seems like horrific business. Garrett Wilson's really good. They paid him as well. And then Fields, it'll be hard for me to ever totally quit Fields because of the athletic ability. And he showed it last night. He had a 40-plus yard rushing touchdown on fourth down. Looked great. Can't throw the ball. He can't really throw the ball at all. And then for the Dolphins, your season was already on the line there. Good for you. You don't fall to 0-4. You're 1-3. Tyreek Hill, though, his career might be over with. If you didn't see the injury, I don't really recommend going to look it up. It's pretty gruesome.
Just trust everyone that says it didn't look good.
Yeah, dislocated knee with obviously then a torn ACL, and they're checking to see even more likely having more torn ligaments in there. It's going to be a long recovery. If he really ever even comes back, it's going to be, I think, 32 in March or April, wherever his birthday falls.
And Hill's big thing is his speed, and that kind of an injury devastates all of the ligaments in one knee.
Yeah, just the games yesterday, I wasn't even excited for them. I will watch bad college football all the time. I watch terrible college basketball all the time. I just like watching sports. But with the NFL in particular, I seem to have an aversion to bad football. It really does bother me. Because you're just watching it.
Your glasses turn into a monocle. I need good football.
I kind of do in the NFL. Like that's where I fall. And in part, like I was making this joke the other day with some friends, and I'm like, Josh Allen is going to make watching Bills football 5 to 10 years after his retirement very difficult. And to no fault of the Bills, they could still be a very good organization, right? They could go from their, I guess, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers equivalent to Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, and it could be great. But the way he plays football, and even on their C games, I know Nate's been using that a lot in post game and on the overtime show.
You're welcome.
As well. You know, their C games, they're still putting up 30 points. You just don't see that around the rest of the NFL. There are not many teams that on an okay day, they win by 12 or they win by 10. They put up 30 points. You just don't see that. And then looking around the rest of the NFL and watching some of these games, and I'm just like, oof. Some bad football, bad offensive line play, kind of around the league. There really are not many good offensive lines as a full unit. There are very good offensive linemen, but as units, there are not many great offensive lines. And you saw it last night with Cincinnati. That offense is nearly unplayable. They're just chucking it up to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, hoping for anything.
And that is part of having a backup quarterback. They're not going to make the best of decisions. Look at Carson Wentz in Ireland. But maybe the numbers will end up being there at the end of the day. Like, Wentz threw for 350. Nobody really noticed because he was playing terribly for that game. And with Browning, what's he do immediately when he gets in there against Jacksonville? Feed the ball to Ja'Marr Chase.
Which is the correct way to do it. Carson Wentz, what does he do when he went in? Justin Jefferson. And he had like 9 catches in the first half.
It's a shame for rookie Jackson Dart that he will not be able to just do the Malik is down there somewhere.
Yeah.
Because the MetLife turf monster has claimed another soul. Love to see that. They need... Oh, my God.
Well, that's... I mean, I think they need
to get rid of that surface. They've needed to get rid of that surface 7 years ago.
Yeah, that might be a thing that really does start to come to a head here for them of just everyone knows how bad it is. And now you have one of the... I thought this was going to be something for... The tush push is once you have a quarterback get hurt, all of a sudden, it sounds awful. No one cares when an offensive lineman gets hurt. But if a quarterback got hurt on that play, well, now it'll be easy to get rid of. In reality, it ended up turning into it looks awful, and now there's false starts constantly. No one's able to call it. That'll get banned. I wonder now with MetLife, with a star player, on the Giants getting hurt, does that maybe push the Giants themselves to go, okay, we've got to fix this.
Right.
We've got to fix this.
It is an issue. The turf monster there, it's typically been two fields that I've always been the most nervous about, MetLife and Detroit, Ford Field.
Yeah.
Those are the two that always seem to have the most notorious of injuries. The Bills have to play there every year. Thank goodness they already got through theirs without relatively much incident. But, for example, if they have to like play the Giants on the road, I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Because then all of a sudden, you've got to get the Bills there twice. And that's not good.
No. We didn't really have to deal with the vet for Philadelphia, that field.
Yeah.
Which was just asphalt. that's what it was.
I mean,
it was concrete. With like green paint over
growing
it.
Growing up, I probably had watched more games of that, but I also didn't, my brain didn't fully function yet. Still a child.
Right. But like that was the stadium that I always heard like the horror stories about. Is like when you had to go to Philadelphia, you were like, cool, we're just going to play on the road.
We're playing street ball.
Yeah, we're playing street ball and it's actually tackle. You know, we'll see what ends up happening here as well with, you know, with the Bills next stadium and stuff like that.
What, you never played tackle football on the street?
No. No.
I don't advise it.
No, don't advise it. But yeah, just some bad games over the weekend. I still enjoyed watching the football, but in particular, like last night, the NFL is that one sport where I can't just like kind of sit there and enjoy the bad product. Again, like college sports, I can. Basketball, I kind of enjoy it. NHL, I can. Baseball, in part, I almost hope it's a bad game where it becomes a pitcher's duel and no one can hit. NFL, if it's a bad game, there's nothing that'll get me to turn the TV off faster than two teams that kind of just can't do anything. A lot of penalties, too, last night, especially in Miami and the Jets. Ugh.
That is kind of interesting that you say it like that, though, because the NFL is king, and it has our sports society in a vice grip, really. But yeah, when the professional play is at a subpar level, it is very discouraging to want to keep watching it, let alone two of these games on the same Monday night also doing that to you. Because typically your saving grace is that one of them is good. And the idea was that one game that was going to be good would have been Bengals-Broncos with Burrow healthy.
And you saw how they put it, too, specifically. It was going to be the second game. You'd start watching the first game, and you hope that turns out good, and then you'd maybe transition over to the second.
But that tells me the flaw in the logic already.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Why in the hell is it the Jets and Dolphins?
Yeah.
You should want a good game to at least start out, or at least a potential mismatch that turns into a bit of a imbalance late in the game so that you're all watching the 8:15 game.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that what they think is going to happen with Bills and Falcons?
No, I think that one ends up just being, like, correct. Like, we're going to have a really good game here. Even if the Falcons aren't really good, you're going to have Josh Allen and the Bills on TV. That'll be great. And then what's the second one?
I haven't actually seen
what the 8:15 game is for that week.
I'm going to need a second on that. But that should be the idea, is you put a first game in there that it's going to get ugly later.
Bears-Commanders, 8:15.
Oh, no.
Well, no, that one they can lean into.
Revenge from Hail Mary.
Look what happened last year.
Is Jaden Daniels going to be healthy by then?
I think probably by then he should be. He started practicing this week.
Yep. I knew it was close. But it's still worth asking. Yeah, I can at least... I don't know. It's going to... And then here's the other thing. Ready? The Thursday night game this week. 49ers-Rams. That's a really good divisional matchup. Except it's on Thursday. The quality of play is going to end up going down. What am I looking at here in week 6? Oh, there we go. Eagles-Giants.
Oof.
That's a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
You tuck that one away at Thursday night and you deal with that. But I would have thought on paper, for example, Cincy-Green Bay would have been a good idea to highlight in there. LA-Baltimore is a 1 o'clock game that week.
Chargers-Baltimore?
Rams-Baltimore.
Rams-Baltimore.
Good Lord, the Ravens keep getting thrown in the gamut here.
Yeah. Oh, their schedule really, I think, never let up.
And now
they've got so many injuries on defense.
Their schedule's actually diabolical through the first 6 weeks. The Texans and Browns are your, like, grace period.
And it's two two of the better defenses in football.
Yeah.
I don't want to definitively say two of the best because I haven't looked at the numbers necessarily for that, but two of the better ones.
I think that's the exact way to say it. They have a nice underbelly after that. Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. But are they going to be alive by then?
Yeah, that's going to be a real curious thing to watch with them, just mainly due to the fact of has Pittsburgh already clinched the North 4 weeks in? But, yeah, I mean, there was a lot from this weekend, and I took away kind of a lot of negatives. For Bill Saints, though, was also sort of that as well, and something we've talked about, where when you look at the schedule, it was going to be tough to learn anything positive. The two big takeaways I had from Sunday was that Cole Bishop is really coming along real mm-hmm. nicely, and Deion Walker might be a stud as a fourth-round rookie. After that, a lot of it is still, for me, waiting and seeing, waiting for these suspended players to come back, waiting for the injured players to come back. I guess the other takeaway we could have, more of a bad one, but also a good one, Spencer Brown's super important to the offensive line and how they operate. But that's not really that surprising. You hope a guy like a Ryan Vandermark or a Tylan Grable, whoever their backup lineman is that has to go in, has a good game in the spot duty. Vandermark last year against Kansas City. The likely turnout, though, or at least the one you should maybe expect, is that the offense won't look as good
and
with one of your key offensive linemen, a right tackle, out.
And your projected backup tackle also out. Mm-hmm. Grable is supposed to be the guy behind him, and he's not because he is still on IR. He is eligible to come back now. But it's not a surprise, like you said. Spencer Brown also earned a contract extension because he is playing like one of the better right tackles in the NFL, a position where right tackle, you do need to make sure that there's not a gigantic gap between your left and your right tackle anymore. You do need to make sure that there is something there to hold on to at your right tackle position. The Chargers are going to get real interesting now. They've lost Rashawn Slater and now Joel Alt.
Alt with a high ankle sprain, so it's not season for him, but you're right. I mean, And you saw what it meant against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, Jackson Dart had a pretty good game, you know, and especially after Neighbors went out. I think that was more on just how many hits Herbert took, how the offense couldn't. And Amarian Hampton was having himself a good game, but they just could not get going on offense at all once, obviously, now both their tackles were out.
But back to the Bills on this, it's just the one thing about it. You and I said it all last week. We're going to learn nothing good about this team for about a month. The Bills' defense really just decided to test that theory and see how far they could push it.
Mm-hmm.
Against New Orleans, it was, at the very start, against the scripted plays, awful. It was almost nightmarish watching them playing. And the tackling issues are really the problem at this point. Because I started questioning if Babich is the guy, but the defense coordinator does not make the tackles. He does not take the poor angles on tackling or in run pursuit. And you saw it on the play that Saints touchdown, the first one, where Rapp comes in, bad angle, and he gets pushed aside. And then Trey White puts up a less than desirable effort.
I think I saw a lot of people after that play legitimately calling for him to be benched.
And Dorian Strong then does happen to come in the next drive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the tackling, like the coaches don't have anything to do with that. And tackling was a huge issue against the Ravens. And, well, I mean, it's hard to tackle Derrick Henry, except the rest of the league has proven that it's not really right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just be a Bills talent on the roster issue. It might be the defensive tackles are not winning one-on-one battles in the run game. Deion Walker's getting double-teamed already.
Yeah, and then you're down through one game this year, but he's probably been your best defensive tackle for most of his career. At Oliver, he's been down since week one. You had one performance from him. Now he's had a boot on his foot. We're all watching how much he's limping whenever we see videos of him. It looks like he's still maybe a week away.
But the linebackers, once considered to me a position of strength heading into the season, Bernard's missing tackles. Matt Milano, when he's in, is missing tackles.
Dorian Williams looks bad.
Dorian Williams has been surpassed by Shaq Thompson as the next linebacker in.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the idea of signing Shaq Thompson all throughout once they did it, but I didn't think that they would need him this much already. I thought that was just really valuable depth. Well, it turns out it is. It's just that now he's a higher piece on the depth chart than I initially suspected he would have to be. Williams has been bad. Andreessen, I mean,
we haven't really seen much from him at all.
We haven't seen much from him, but also, like, if we get to that point of seeing him, that means there's a lot of injuries and we got problems. But I just look at this defense not making tackles, and it's like, that's something that no matter what, good team, bad team, you got to make plays. Because if you're not making the tackles, it's not going to work for you. Taylor Rapp has become a major concern for me now through four games. And if he keeps playing like this, I might start calling for DeMar Hamlin. I'm not kidding. It's getting bad. But Cole Bishop has gone from mystery box to, oh, you probably have something here. Good. Which a lot of fans, everyone's nervous about the unknown with him. Well, it seems like he's got things going. Now that he's got a steady set of playing time, they made sure to force snaps to him in the preseason, even in a scenario that he really should not have been in or thrown into.
Yeah.
But they needed him to get snaps. And now he looks like he is a player that they saw all along as a second-round pick.
He looks already like one of their better athletes.
And that's
across
good.
The defense, he looks like one of their better athletes. I will say, though, with this defense, it's hard for me to talk in definitives with them because of how many injuries they have, because of their first-round pick having not played at all. And to be fair, we'll see how much Harrison actually is really able to affect the defense because of his LCL sprain and McDermott kind of seeming like we're not heading towards a redshirt year, but that it's definitely a possibility.
We're taking our time with him.
Right. And then as well, suspended players, Larry Ogunjobi, and maybe more. I don't know if Michael Hoyt's being talked about enough, and I would put us in that box as well.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, that he's suspended. We'll talk about him later. He came in, though, to the Bills as one of the more versatile defenders in football. Take what you will, because I saw some of the PFF grades from this weekend, how Ryan Vandermark somehow was one of their better offensive players. So, again, take this with a grain of salt if that's you. But Hoyt was a top 10 run defender by his grade per PFF last year for players of his position. Is that going to be something big for them? That's where they were getting gashed on Sunday, was those was guys going towards the edges. They were going outside. It's Joey Bosa, who been great as a pass rusher. He has been awful in the run defense against both mobile quarterbacks and then just running backs. He has been not good. Greg Rousseau, I guess, is maybe dealing with a bone bruise. That seems to be what I've seen the reports from him. But they've not been good there. Maybe Hoyt changes that. Maybe having both Deion Walker and Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones in the interior, along with Larry Ogunjobi, will really help them. It won't be great if all of a sudden TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson, your second and third round pick, are healthy and actives. But I think for most of us, it's much more of, I just want a Super Bowl. I don't really care about the future. I care about the now, which is where guys like Deion Walker is so exciting to have because he looks like both a future piece and a now piece.
And I think there's something you mentioned, like the Super Bowl thing. This is also going to the anxiety of Bills fans on a week-to-week basis right now. There was a caller on the Overtime show that Nate and I took on Sunday night that put it in a pretty good perspective for me. It's because the Bills haven't won something yet that the anxiety creeps up, and you have a game like this where you only win by 12 against the Saints, and it's like, oh, can this team even win in January or in the Super Bowl? It's week four, but we're all gauging it like that because we haven't been there. This core has not been there.
I think that's absolutely
right. There's an entire generation of fans that didn't even know what the playoffs were for 17 years. There's an anxiety that is added to it within Buffalo fans that is natural because of the fact that the team does not have that championship. There is no redemption arc, so to say. And as a matter of fact, I feel like any one of us, if we tried to nitpick the Saints and the Bills had a championship like this, or if they were coming off of one, you'd feel like a jerk.
I think, honestly, I think you'd feel like a crazy person. That is something I thought about, too, of like, how much am I really going to care about their right guard situation or their linebacker situation if it's the year after Super Bowl? Now, to be perfectly honest, I'm a very competitive person. I'll want more. So very quickly, it'll become easy to go back to the norm, I think, for myself.
But there are plenty of people that will be like,
this is ridiculous.
Doing? What are we doing?
And I think it's right to bring up, it's the anxiety of, but we haven't won one yet. Philadelphia has a hard time passing the ball. I don't think they completed a pass for the entire third quarter and they still beat Tampa. Like, there's real issues in their passing game. A.J. Brown is quoting the Bible out here on social media, talking about if you're not wanted, just disappear. Really, they've won two Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Like, who cares? The Chiefs are the dynasty of the 2020s. Like, they have issues on offense, but honestly, who cares? Like, they'll be fine. Like, trust the process. For Bills fans, you can say that, and in many aspects, it is true. Just trust the process. They've been there and done that, but they haven't been there. They have not gotten to the Super Bowl. They have not won one. And until that happens, I think you're right. There will always be that level of anxiety of, oh no, the wheels are starting to fall off. Oh no, like this is going to be our Achilles heel. We can't stop teams like Philadelphia, like Detroit, like the Rams, or even going to the AFC, Kansas City and Baltimore.
I liken it to, I have to leave the house for 2 hours and my beagle gets like a little bit of that separation anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I liken that to. Oh, everything's fine. You won by 12. Oh, everything's fine. You came home. But what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you put me through that?
Why'd you put me through that? And that's what the last 2 weeks have been. Why did you put me through this?
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll have our top five primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. Talking Bills defense, how much of it is really an issue right now? Is it an issue they can sustain going forward with them taking on the Patriots this Sunday night? RJ, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you right after this quick timeout. We've also got some breaking news in the NHL we'll hit after we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hour number one continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a Tuesday. Let's go to the phones, get connected to our fans. First up today, RJ is on the line. RJ, how we doing?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So a couple things. So we're talking about the defense, how we're getting gashed at times, and we just don't have that player that's stepping up. My biggest issue, not even so much that, is because that's happening now, and the statement gets made all the time, we keep having to have Josh put the cape on. And, again, we rely on him so much. I mean, Cook is stepping up now, which I appreciate because I think we needed that. And we're using him more, which mm-hmm. makes sense because we're paying him $12 million a year. But we have to stop relying on this because it's sooner or later, something bad's going to happen because he keeps having to have so much pressure and so much anxiety on him during the game.
I think that's
And the second thing is, I'm a huge Penn State fan. I'm a diehard Bills fan. But I'll tell you this, James Franklin and they drive me nuts because they can't, neither one of them can win big games. Getting to a certain point can knock it over that hump to win the big game, but yet they're still on the staffs. They're still being held like they're these, like, great, great coaches like Saban or somebody like that, when they're not, because they can never finish and get the big game done. Those are my two thoughts. You guys talk about, let me know.
RJ, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thanks, RJ.
I will tell you on the relying on Allen too much. I think that was true for a few years. I think especially this year, and I do want to talk about James Cook more as the week goes on and even as the season goes on. They are now also starting to lean on him. And in a way that I think I know there's been a lot of people, and to a certain extent I can agree, if you want to bring his usage down, you don't want to – I don't care. You're paying him $12 million a year. If he's your best running back, if he's your second best weapon on offense, use them. I'm okay with leaning on your best players. The problem was for the Bills, I think for a long time, was it was just Allen and Diggs. And to a certain extent, Diggs is relying on Allen. They have to work in the symbiotic relationship. You were hoping
a wide receiver has to have a quarterback in order to be successful.
Right. In terms of like needing another star that not always have to lean on Allen early, would have to have been a running back or a defensive player, right? Having a Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons that on the other side of the field could take it out, or a running back that Allen doesn't have to touch the ball and you could still be, you know, a great offense, a great team. James Cook right now is one of the best offensive weapons in the NFL. He's second in the league in rushing. He is dominating many teams, and he's doing it also with, you know, not the full complement of offensive linemen. Ryan Vandermark is in over Spencer Brown, still gets over 100 yards, still no problem. They don't have to rely on their passing game so much. I think that is a positive there for the Bills. We'll see about the defense. I think they can somewhat survive giving up a lot in the running game. I'm not saying they can be 32nd in the league and survive, but that's also with a lot of guys missing and injured and suspended and what have you. But if they're 20 to 25th in the league in rushing yards allowed, I think they can survive that. They're winning by 10 and 12 points, and they're giving up a ton of rushing yards. It's allowing teams, I guess, to keep it close. It's not really letting them allow, or allowing them to win the game.
And that is something that we'll need to see the true meaning of something. And it's not about the run defense. It's about the pass defense. How good is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Their numbers are great.
Right, right, yeah.
They also don't need to be tested because teams can run the football on them. So there might be a problem there that we don't know yet because of the fact that the Bills haven't really allowed it to show its face.
Well, yeah, because teams are just going to lean into the run. But I think that's why the Bills are doing this. Is it's cool. You're not going to beat us through the air. You're not going to beat us.
It is technically leaving everything in front of you still, technically.
Like, and that's the thing, too.
That's a toxic mindset, but first that's how you could think about it.
But they're first in passing yards per game allowed. That, I think, that can absolutely be looked at as, well, you know, teams are deciding to run the ball more on them. And I think that's absolutely correct. Like, that is much more of the statistic of how much does this really mean. The passing yards per play, though, being first, I think is far more indicative of the Bills are doing a very good job in the pass defense. You're not going to beat them deep. You're not even going to really beat them at all through the air.
I will say that some of that might still be a byproduct of you allowed Justin Fields to have, like, what, 7 yards passing or something like that?
Sure.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. But Rattler didn't really beat you through the air.
Rattler didn't beat you through the air. Tua didn't beat you through the air. Jackson could have beat you through the air based on how that game was going. But they just kept making bad coaching decisions late in the game. I don't know what the pass defense is yet, and that's the part of like learning anything productive about them. We're still going to be a while, and Kansas City is the first real lesson that you're going to get in that, because the Chiefs don't run the ball very well.
No, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is still their leading rusher, but at least through 3 weeks he was
through 3 weeks, and well, yeah, a lot of things happen because you face the Ravens defense. You want to talk about a team that actually has a bad, bad defense? Well, there's Baltimore there sitting around the corner at 1-3. The Bills at least have a good enough defense that you can stem the tide, but if the Bills had the Ravens schedule, are they looking at 4-0? Probably not. You're probably looking at 3-1 or something.
Mahomes
is still their leading rusher. They don't have a run game.
By 3 yards, but yeah, they don't have a run game.
They don't have a run game. Pacheco's been bad, but if the Bills can't tackle him, for example, that's going to be the problem. But I think that the Chiefs are going to be the best test of what the pass defense is. Because, regrettably, I have to say it, Mahomes is playing pretty well right now. And they've needed him to be. And that's just to get to 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how Allen has never had like much support over the years, or he hasn't had too much of it. Look at Kansas City. Like, yeah, they got Xavier Worthy back, and he had 83 receiving yards.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the end of the dynasty's run. They could still be competitive.
Well,
I'm not saying
those words.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. But in terms of the talent is leaving.
They're leaving
the station.
But they need to reload on the fly.
And they're not doing the best job.
They're not doing the best job of it, but they're not doing the worst job of it. I think Worthy's fine. Like Coleman.
He's a good weapon for them. When he's in the rotation, it really helps them.
Both players fit what the teams want them to be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Bills ever thought about Worthy because the Bills face too high safety more than any team in the league. The Chiefs still somehow don't face it as often as Buffalo does. And that's despite the fact that they have the straight line running worthy.
Yeah.
But back to the defensive point real quick. It is getting to a point where execution has to be the thing. The players have to make these tackles. There are a lot of missed tackles from this team, and you see it every week. I don't know how much I can blame on Babich at this point. I don't know how much I can blame McDermott at this point.
Well, because it's one
they
of those things.
They don't make the tackles.
I can already hear that, well, what's coaching supposed to do? Man, they're grown adults playing this game since they were six. Make a tackle.
Wrap up.
You know, don't go at a 6'4", 300-pound tight end up top. You're going to lose that battle every time.
Don't go after Derrick Henry and just throw your shoulder at him thinking it's going to work.
Yeah, and look, sure, some of that maybe is going to be on coaching. And, yeah, Cole Bishop also had a safety blitz call from Tonawanda. Like, it did happen. But I've maintained this for a while. I think a lot of it has been more of a talent issue. I do put a lot of the blame on the defensive issues the last few seasons squarely at the GM's door.
And they should be.
They have not been good at adding at edge. They have not been good at filling in the interior defensive line. The defensive line itself. They have not done a very good job at fixing that. Linebacker is still very much a question mark.
You drafted smaller guys that can move, but now here comes the other side of the coin.
And even safety. Cool. Cole Bishop's worked. But Taylor Rapp might just be Damar Hamlin. Except he has some big hits every now and then. That really might be it.
And you've saved yourself with drafting corners late, but your early draft pick at corner was a flop and a half.
Yeah, Kyrie Elam might be part of one of the worst secondaries I've ever seen with Dallas. I mean, so like I think a lot of it more comes down to player acquisition and talent evaluation on the defense more than anything. They can find solid NFL players, but when it's just a bunch of solid NFL players and one or two of those guys get hurt and they're playing a Hall of Fame quarterback in the playoffs, that's where you're going to get bit. Let's go back to the phones here. Mark is up next. Mark, how we doing?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I hate being this caller at 4-0. I truly do. My buddy Clark, he coined the phrase third and Sean, okay? Meaning it's a gimme for these teams on third down lately. And I'm only being critical of it because McDermott is a defensive guy. And I just think dating back to that Bengals playoff game, you remember that? The Bengals were without three starters, and we could not touch Burrow. Yeah. And it's still a problem today. I'm just so sick of that being our kryptonite. Again, thinking down the road, thinking playoffs, thinking Chiefs again, thinking the Ravens again. This has to be corrected. I can't wait to see what the defense looks like. That's what I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I think Hoyt's going to make a huge impact in keeping Bosa fresher. But, we need more out of this group. And how many times are we going to go to this well of you have a stud quarterback, you keep overturning his offensive coordinator, and you keep missing on defense? That's my 4-0 complaint. Again, I hate being that guy. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Mark, thanks for the call, man. I think it's fine, and it's not even just to bring it up because, you know, of the Cincinnati game. Or it's been going on for years that they've had this issue on third down, at least definitely since last year, where, look, third and one, third and two, that's
fine. You played yourself into that spot.
If you get a stop, that's wonderful. But I remember I was watching a Brett Coleman and EJ Snyder video. They were talking about that, and I don't have the exact numbers, but essentially the numbers came down to on like third and three in, you complete a pass, you're getting a first down like 95% of the time. Like, just complete the pass, you're probably getting it. It's like third and eight back, the numbers fall way down. And yet for the Bills, that's really my biggest problem, is it's these third and longs of you've done so well on first and second down. And that is a thing. I know Jeremy and Joe have talked about it, I think even yesterday or at least last week, where the Bills have been very good on first and second down defense. It has been just get off the field.
And it's third and long where you're supposed to. And this is kind of becoming the thing of where you bring up this squarely falls on the shoulders of Brandon Bean.
We talked about it last week. Their average third down position is third and eight.
And that should be your pass rushers get to pin their ears back and tee off. They're not getting home and they're even sending blitzes.
Mm-hmm.
That falls on the general manager. Because if not for Joey Bosa forcing fumbles left, right, and center at this point. They have no pass rush. Well, oh, but what about pass rush win rate? Are they finishing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Are they affecting the play enough against mobile quarterbacks nowadays, because that's what you have to be, in order to make that work? You're frustrated Justin Fields. That's it.
That's pretty much the list. I mean, I mentioned it, I think, either on air or off air, but QB hurries per dropback, and this is Per Football Reference. The Bills are first in the league at 16.3%. But
cool.
But along with everyone else that they're with there, the QB knockdown percentage is way lower than them. Their sack percentage is way lower. All of it is way lower, even their pressures, compared to these teams like Denver or Seattle,
and
who
when you
are
play,
much better defensive units.
And when you play off coverage, if you're going to hurry it, well, off coverage is going to allow that to happen. And then it's going to allow a completion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sending blitzes, for example, though, and you're causing those hurries, that leaves holes in the coverage. But they're not getting home. And when I say getting home, I mean finishing the deal. Get a knockdown. Get a pressure that forces the incompletion. You saw a decent amount of it in the Miami game. But that's also the only time I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of work to do. I will say I agree with the caller as well. I am excited for what Hoyt's going to bring.
I am very excited about that. I'm excited about Ed Oliver coming back. Good lordy lord, am I excited about Ed Oliver coming back and potentially playing next to Deion Walker on snaps. If they get Walker into the one tech next to Oliver.
If he can play that role.
I have visions of being very happy.
And so that's, you know, to the caller's point too, they're 4-0. Hate to bring this up, and I don't disagree, but also we're 4-0 hunting a Super Bowl, and as you mentioned, it with the anxiety that's where the Bills live at.
That's why he hates it, though. Like, that's why the caller hates it.
And I don't disagree. I'm fully with him on it. But a lot of their issues potentially could get fixed if guys like Hoyt hit like they want him to, and Ed Oliver continues his hot run he had in week one, and if Deion Walker can play at the one tech. They've maybe got the pieces, the ingredients to really cook or bake a really nice pie. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have our top five playoff performers. Also, got to get to that NHL news I mentioned at the end of the last segment. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. One continues to roll along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Baseball playoffs start today. Very excited.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Cleveland, Detroit. Detroit does get in the playoffs after nearly, I mean, it still is, but one of the worst collapses we've ever seen. It was almost nearly the worst if they missed out on the playoffs entirely.
Detroit now has the chance to do the funniest thing possible.
Lose the division but still win the wild card series against the team that beat them?
Yeah. Correct, yes.
Yeah. Three-game series. I like this much better than like any kind of like one-game playoff would have you.
Yes.
I just like it too because I'm already seeing commercials for like the AL and NLDS starts this weekend, and you're like, oh, yeah. Wild card series is going to be over with on Thursday. Should be a blast. And
I'm just sitting here with my number one seed Blue Jays.
Blue Jays are the number one seed, and with that, they will play
the
winner.
And they have to face the Red Sox or the Yankees.
Yeah, they get the winner of the Red Sox-Yankees. That being a wild card series is awesome.
I will say this. I kind of need the Yankees to win. Toronto battered New York all throughout the year. They could not handle Boston.
No, especially at the end of the year, it was tough.
Yeah. Give me take my chances with the Yankees. I can at least go on. You did well against them this year. Don't give me the Red Sox at all. No.
Yeah,
no.
I'm very, very excited. I've mentioned it a few times as we got closer to the playoffs starting. As an Angels fan, I can kind of get away from the regular season pretty often. The playoffs and the end of the regular season always drags me right back in. I equate it a lot to the Sabres and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. That, yeah, the Sabres have been bad, and I have to at times check out with them or I'm going to lose my mind. But always come to Stanley Cup playoffs, I am there. Game one, super excited to watch it.
I'm excited about the Mariners, too, just whoever they end up facing. Cal Raleigh is fantastic.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
Big Dumper is great.
And I think he's the favorite to win the NBA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
And we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I haven't checked the favorites from the. I know it's between him and Judge and the AL, but I got to imagine you're going to give it to Cal Raleigh.
I do have to say one thing about the Yankees, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Last three games against Toronto, they won the last two. They haven't figured out.
They got them.
Listen,
got
that's her. All I'm saying. Toronto in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
I know the
Triple A affiliate plays in Buffalo, but. Yankees in the first round of the playoffs, I would take. It's the actual, like, towards the end where
it's the
bottom of the fifth where they're going to just completely look like a little league team out there.
And that's the thing. This is going to be key for Toronto. Yes, they have the one seed. It is going to be proving that you do belong. You didn't just have a hot regular season.
Right, exactly.
That's going to be the key and really fun thing.
Having home field is going to be big, though, because in the MLB, it is a large disparity between your wins and losses by being home versus away.
Yeah.
They do manage with that regular season to at least keep that there. They have a chance, or at least they give themselves the best chance because they are the number one overall seed in the AL. By the way, we had hockey news.
Yes,
that
thank you.
We promised we were going to give you, and we have just outright now refused to in two segments all of a sudden. Kirill Kaprizov and the Minnesota Wild agreed to an 8-year extension, $17 million average annual value.
The Wild just got out. I'm saying just got out. I think it's been about a year and a half, 2 years since they've got out of the Parise-Suter contracts. But now you can have another big one on the books with Kaprizov. I think he's absolutely worth that. But we were talking with Owen Parker before he left. You know, this points to McDavid. He's going to get 20-plus million. And for the Sabres especially, Alex Tuch, that reported asking price of around $11 million, probably has some validity to it.
Suddenly bears a lot more weight to it.
It'll absolutely be something to keep an eye on as well, because he's not in the Eichel, McDavid, Kaprizov realm. It'll be something to keep an eye on now for the next few days for the Sabres of, do they just get the Tuch extension done before the season here, now that one of the big names is off the table and we have that price point.
But he is also consistently a 30-goal scorer, and that
is right.
Has value in the National Hockey League.
Absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Carol, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you when we come back. And also, we have our top five primetime performers coming up next. An interesting week in the NFL. We'll give you our thoughts after this timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.